Okay. Switch off.
Starting today, the Turaway, Northwest London, Friday, 15th of Kislev, 9th of December, Rabbi Pinchas Hackebroch Shlita. Do you have the courage to face your true self? This week's Turaway been sponsored by Nishmas Maras Brucha Bas, Rabbi Eliyakim Yehuda, Zichronot Livrocho, whose Yahrzeit was yesterday.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Warm welcome to everyone that are watching online and those that are joining us in person.
They tell the story about Yankel. Yankel had a very hard life. He was a bit of a loser. He never really made it. And he decided, on arriving in the Golden Medina, to start over, start afresh. So he goes to Fifth Avenue, he buys himself the best suit, the $500 suit, he gets himself the most exquisite shoes, he gets himself the new look, and he asks someone, where's the best shul to go? So they point him in the right direction, he goes to the shul, and he walks in, and he sees everyone looking, hoi to toi, and he says to himself, listen, if I'm starting afresh, I might as well sit at the front. So he sits right at the front, comes to the Aliyahs, and they say, is anyone a Kohen? He looks around, no one puts up their hand, so he puts up his hand, he gets Kohen, comes down, shakes everyone's hand, does a lap of honor, he's very excited. At the end of it, he goes over to the Rav to give Shalom Aleichem, and the Rav says to him, I think I recognize you. Yankel, is that you? He says, yes, it's me. He says, Moishi, is that you? He says, yeah, I'm the Rav. He says, that's unbelievable. We go way back to the Haim. I remember you in the shtetl, I remember you growing up. But tell me, something really bothered me this morning. I'm delighted that you made it. But I knew your family. Are you Cohen? Your father wasn't a Cohen. Your grandfather wasn't a Cohen. How come you got an Aliyah for Cohen? He says, I want to tell you the truth, the uncle says. He said, I looked around and I saw that you're the Rav. And I said, if you can be the Rav, I can be a Cohen. There's an element, Rav Oisai, there's an element of truth in that joke. Yeah. Who do we want to be? Who do we think we are? It's a shaila we have about Yaakov Avinu. We know that at this point, Yaakov has got the brachas, received the brachas of Esav. And as we will see, that Yaakov very much wants those brachas to be in Mekuyam. He wants to take on the mantle of Esav. So it's a shaila. Is Yaakov really Esav in this week's parasha or not? Let's have a look. In days gone by in Rome, we're familiar that they used to have a pagan practice that every year they would have this commemoration to a bygone era of Yaakov and Esav. They took a lame person and they put an able-bodied person on the shoulders of the lame person. Terrible thing. And he would march him through the town and everyone would ridicule and make fun. So the question again, that's the way that they want to remember and to see us. How does Yaakov emerge from his dream, from the encounter this week? Is he somebody who's lame? Is that the way we are to be, that's the way they want to depict us, but is that the way that we are meant to see ourselves? After this epic encounter with a malach, or are we the able-bodied? Let's have a look and try and make some head and tail of all of this. So we know that Yaakov is struggling. Yaakov struggling with this mysterious adversary, and then at long last, the malach says, it's almost daybreak, I need to go. And he says, I'm not going to let you go. Ki imberachtani. I want to be blessed by you. So we know that we don't ask malochim for brachos. So what exactly does it mean? Ki imberachtani. I'm not going to let you go, says Yaakov. Ki imberachtani.
Did Yaakov know he was a malach? Did Yaakov know he was a malach or did he was a human being?
He was a human being in the guise of, he was a malach in the guise of a human.
Did Yaakov know he was a malach?
Well, presumably he knew that. Well, we can conjecture. He says, "I've got to go because it's daybreak." Why did he have to go? Because it was daybreak. So perhaps at the end of it, he knew it was what to discuss. But let's just assume that he did have some inclination, and therefore, why would he want a bracha from a malach? So what Yaakov was saying was that I recognize that you are Sar Shel Esav, okay? And Esav, we know, complained that I stole the brachas. And therefore, I want you to admit that those brachas are mine. Ki im beirach tani. That's the pshat in Rashi. I will not let you go, not until you bless me. I don't need the bracha of a malach. Until you admit that the brachas of Esav are mine. So, what would we expect to come next? If you're in a struggle and somebody is exerting pressure on you, and he says, I'll let you go if you may confess, if you admit, you'd expect the next thing to be the confession, the admission, so that you can be released. That's not what happens next, is it? What happens next? Vayomer Elav Mashemecha Vayomer Yaakov. So next we have a name change, right? Vayomer Lo Yaakov Yemer Otshem Chakim Yisrael Kisarisem Elohim Elohim Vimanoshim Batucham. So we know that now is the moment where instead of being released, the Malach changes Yaakov's name from Yaakov to Yisrael. Ki im Yisrael. What is Yisrael? Yisrael is made up of two parts. One is the idea of Sar, and the other thing is El. Meaning, the Medrash says, is not referring to Hashem when we say El, but to a Malach, a power. In other words, what was being said here is that Ki Sarisa, because you have become superior over a Malach, Vatuchal. You have shown yourself through this encounter, you have now emerged superior to a Malach. Yaakov, as we already mentioned, hadn't as yet had his request fulfilled. He asked for the Malach to admit that he had the right to the brachas, and the Malach asked him what is his name, and then changes his name. Seems like the Malach is changing subject. You know, when you're uncomfortable about something, somebody asks, one of the kids asks for money or something, a holiday, a trip, and you say, well, let's just discuss something completely different so that you get out of the uncomfortable spot. Rashi tells us that in the next pasuk that actually that Yaakov did get what he wanted. In other words, when the Malach left, that he admitted that basically he had that the Malach had agreed, acquiesced that the brachas were the brachas of Esav would now belong to Yaakov. We go on. We know that there was another aspect to this epic encounter, and that is that Yaakov is injured, right? We know that Yaakov is injured, and we know that as a result of that, we're not allowed to eat. There's an issa to eat the sinew of the thigh, right? A sinew of an animal's thigh, we're not allowed to eat other yomazeh. So afterwards what happens, we know that the sun shines, and then Yaakov's healed, and that's the end of the episode. So, before we come to dealing with that, the obvious question is, we have this struggle between Yaakov and a Malach. How does a human being fight with a Malach? How can he possibly fight? Something that's dealt with by many of the Sforim. How can he possibly encounter? And we know Yaakov had great strength. We know that from previous episodes, but nonetheless, how could he possibly overcome the Malach? Who's greater, a human being or a Malach? Human being or a Malach? So, as with everything in Jewish, it depends. Depends what aspect we want to look at. In one sense, a human being is potentially much greater. Why?
has to overcome Yetzirah.
He has to overcome Yetzirah. He has Bechira, right? And we know the Chelek Elokim Mimal, that the divine aspect, the neshama that we have, is from the highest of highest places. So therefore, in one sense, what we can achieve and what is with the capability, the infinite capability of a human being, is much greater than a malach. But that's only one part of a human being. That's the neshama. But there is the other aspect. The other aspect is the guf. And the guf is what it is, which is it pulls us down. It's material. It leads to us having weaknesses. And that is something which, unlike the malach, makes us weaker than a malach. A malach, his guf is purely ruchni. So it doesn't have, it's not a mahalach, it doesn't move, it doesn't change. Unlike us that are capable to grow, to develop, to mature. But nonetheless, so there are these two aspects to a human being. One in which we are greater than the malach, and the other one where the malach is greater than a human being. So what's the point? If we come back, what's the point of the Gid Hanasha? What's the point of us not eating? Because Yaakov had this encounter and was injured in the encounter and struggle, therefore we don't eat today, his descendant, the Gid Hanasha Ela Yom Hazeh. Who cares? So he was injured. There's many things that happened to the others. What is so significant that we can't eat the Gid Hanasha? Because Yaakov Avinu had this encounter, and in any case he came out at the end Shalim. So why do we care about not eating the Gid Hanasha to this day because of this encounter? So there is there's a remez. It says Lo Yochlu Bnei Yisrael Es Gid Hanasha. The Zohar says the word es Lo Yochlu Bnei Yisrael es is a remez. He says to Av Tishi. So that's a reference, a remez to the ninth of Av. Very strange. And if we go on, he says the Zohar goes on to say the word Gid, the next word, is also a remez to other of the fasts that we have. He says that the letter Gimel refers to Gimel Tishrei, Yud refers to the Asar B'Teves, and what about Shiva Sabah Tamas? If you take Gimel Yud Dalet together, so you get the Yud Zayin, and that's Shiva Sabah Tamas. Beautiful. So now we see that there's a remez, that Es Gid is a reference to all the fasts that we have relating to the Chulman, and that's Hanasha, yeah, is Hashana, so it refers to all the fasts in the year which are referring to the Avelos over the Chulman. The only question is, what possible connection is there between this episode and the Chulman? Why would we need to be reminded of it at this particular juncture? So referring back to the question we had about how it could be that Yaakov Avinu, how could a human being overcome a malach, the Sfasem suggests, as we've already mentioned, that there are these two aspects. And usually we said that a malach would trump a human being, because although we have this neshama which is higher, our guf is something that pulls us down. But that's with most people. But Yaakov Avinu was something quite unique. He was able to elevate his body to such a degree in that every single thing that he did in his life, he was able to infuse with Kedusha, with Ruchnius, so that his whole guf became something which was a Dava Ruchni. Think about he went back for the Pachim Ketanim. Ever wonder why he went back for Pachim Ketanim? A wealthy boy, he didn't need these small jugs. He went back because he recognized that if the Rabbeinu Shalom gave them to him, it was part of his avoda. He needed them in order to fulfill his avoda, because everything he saw in a completely different way to us, everything was an opportunity to be elevated, to be infused, and therefore they were necessary. And therefore Yaakov is somebody who's on a much higher level and was able to overcome this malach, because he didn't have the downside. Both the guf and the neshama were ruchni in Yaakov Avinu's case. And therefore, that's why he's asking the malach, he's saying to the malach, I'm not going to let you go, ki im beirachtani. I want you to recognize that the brachas are mekuyam in me, that I am higher than you, I'm greater than you, because I have been able to transform my gashmius, my guf, into something ruchni, and therefore, both, in either aspect, I'm greater than you, and therefore, I want you to say, before I meet you, Esav, that kim berachtani, that the brachas are mekuyam, and I am worthy of them in my own right. And that's what we say. Think about Moshe Shabbos, V'ten Lecha. What do we speak about? The brachas of Yitzchak. It's all about Gashmias. It's all about Mitar Shemayim, Mishmoni Azim, Rov Dagam, Mesirosh. What are we talking about? We're talking about things which are very, very Gashmi, and food, and yet, at the same time, we're saying that they are something which are so heilig, which can be used for Ruchnias. Let's move on. So, another question that arises, that if he was able to overpower a malach, then why is it that it appears, we asked this earlier, that Yaakov was injured? Why would Yaakov be injured? If we're saying, according to the Sfas Emes, that Yaakov was greater. So what's the idea that he comes out by Yigav HaKaf Yerecha, that he came out and he was injured? What do you mean? When we're not eating the sinew of the thigh, when we're not eating it, is that a celebration, a recognition of his success? Or is it a recognition of an aspect of failure? How do we understand it? It could be either, right? How do we understand it? Yaakov struggled. He comes out. Okay, he came out at the other end, but at the end of the day, he came limping. So what exactly are... Why are we not eating the sinew of the... So, the Mefarshim say that the injury that Yaakov sustained, it wasn't because of Yaakov not having schus and not being worthy, but rather it was because of his descendants, because of the Doros. This wasn't just an encounter between Yaakov Avinu and Tzar Shel Esav. This was a struggle and an encounter which symbolized the struggle throughout the course of our history. And Vadof is true. Yaakov was able to reach these great madrigas of infusing the Gashmias with the Ruchnias and being able to surpass the level even of this Malach. But nonetheless, when we look at the Doros, the question arose as to whether they would be able to reach these lofty heights. Would they be able to maintain the bar as high? And therefore, as much when we're not eating the sinew of the thigh, the Issa is a reminder, a constant reminder to us as to the dangers. We're all trying, we're B'nai Yisrael, we're not Yisrael. And we have to recognize that we're not capable, that's what the Shlach says, we're not necessarily automatically going to be capable of reaching those lofty heights. And yet, that's the avoda. Are we able to take the gashmias, to take the material wealth, to engage with it, and yet to take everything that we have and use it in the way that it was intended? And to use it in the way that it was intended. That's why it says, okay, lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael eskid hanasheh. Yaakov doesn't have a problem eating the sinew of the thigh. But Yaakov Avinu, he surpassed this level. There's no danger. But for us, for B'nai Yisrael, that's the question. Are we going to be able to stick to the task? Are we going to be able to transcend our physical beings and follow in the derech of Yaakov Avinu or not? And therefore, when the Rambam mentions, he speaks about Shabbos. He speaks about the foods that we have on Shabbos. He speaks about the mitzvah of Oinek Shabbos, the special delicacies, the special foods that we're meant to have. We sing in it's interesting, if you think about the Zmiras that we have, they're divided in two camps. Some of the Zmiras are all about the Ruchnias, about the greatness, Mein Olam Haba, of Shabbos. On the other hand, we speak about Bosav Adagim, we speak about we speak about the delicacies, the pleasures of Shabbos, the pleasures of food, quite ordinary, mundane matters. And that's the point. That's the point, and that's the challenge. That are we able to take something gashmi and to elevate it and to see the ruchnias in it? Nachlas Yaakov Yirosh. That's the question. To take materialism and to see it, not that I want to just eat, but it is a means to an end for me to enjoy the oinik of Shabbos. There's so many opportunities if we think about our lives, and yet there's so many challenges. We've never had it, however much we say it's difficult and challenging, yet we're blessed. We're blessed with so much wealth. So much wealth, so many opportunities. Says him, Lavan Garti Vitarik Mrs. Shamati Velonimati Masiv Haroim. What does it mean? Obviously, if you kept the whole Torah, if you're saying to Esav, I kept the in Lavan Garti Vitarik Mrs. Shamati, why do we need to be told Velonimati Masiv Haroim? I didn't learn from his evil ways. And Rav Frand and others point out that it's possible for a person to go through life and he'll keep Kedas Kedin, every mitzvah in the Torah. And yet, he can be a glut kosher yid, and yet he can be leading, in a sense, a treifa lifestyle. In other words, it's all about the gluttony and the delicacies of life. I'm keeping the law, but I'm not keeping the spirit of the law. I'm not actually using things for what they were intended. I'm not actually taking, like Yaakov Avinu was able to do, and to infuse everything with Kedusha, in the Begashmias and the Ruchnias. Finish with one final vault. And that is a beautiful Kiddushas Alevi. It says, By Yom Elo Yaakov Yema Od Shimcha Kim Yisrael Ki Sarisim Lukim V'im Anoshim V'tucha. What's V'im Anoshim? What do we want to point out? So the Kiddushas Alevi says, beautiful thing. It says, many people are aware of the Rabbanu Shalom. When are they aware of the Rabbanu Shalom? When they go to a shir, when they go to a simcha, when they go to when they're standing davening, then they've got an awareness of the Rabbanu Shalom. They speak like they are aware of the Rabbanu Shalom. They act like they're aware of the Rabbanu Shalom. But when they're dealing with other people, that's a completely different matter. When they're engaging with, when they've fallen out with somebody in business, when they've had a disagreement with somebody, then there's no so much of having the emun and the bitachon and saying it's all from the Rabbanu Shalom. Rabbi Neman said an amazing story, a startling story, about two gentlemen that were on a bus in Israel, and they were discussing about politics. Well, what else do you discuss in Israel? Anyway, so they were discussing about politics, and one was saying to the other one about one of the politicians that he'd made terrible, he'd allowed, authorized some terrible laws to go through, which were making life very difficult. He was a Rasha, he was a terrible person, he was a mashkis, he was destroying the Kehila. The other one said to him, what are you talking about? You have to understand. Leit Malachim Vesorim Yad Hashem. Everything's in the Rabbanu Shalom's hand. He says, yeah, I get that. But he's still a Rasha. He's making these gezeiros. He's the one who's making these things happen. The other one says, what are you talking about? But I just told you, everything's Biyad Hashem. He says, leave the posse to one side for one moment. But I'm telling you, he's a Rosh. He says, I want to give you an analogy. His friend said to him, as things were getting more and more heated, he says, I want to give you an analogy. Imagine, so someone's making a chulent, and he's busy learning the Rambam at the same time. And all of a sudden, he pours in 3 kilos of salt, and he makes the chulent that he's going to sell to everyone. And his friend gives some of the chulen to his friend. He says to him, tell me, what does it taste like? Is it good? I've made my finest chulen. He says, it's rather salty. He says, yeah, okay. I had a bit of an accident with the salt. Besides the salt, what does the chulen taste like? That's the whole point. That's the point, says the Kedushas Halevi, of the Pasuk's telling us. He says, "Vayomelai lo Yaakov odim shimcha ki im Yisrael ki sarisa im Elokim ve'im anoshim batuchal." You've got to be able to do it im anoshim as well. It's not enough that we're just sarisa, that we're just prevailing and having Rabbanu Shalom as part of as aspects of our lives. It's everything and anything that we're involved with, every aspect, every facet, is an opportunity to elevate, to infuse. That's the avodah of Bnei Yisrael. And if we are able to do so, then we'll be able to demonstrate that we are in the true guise of Yaakov Avinu of Yisrael, and therefore we're living up to our name. Be'ezras Hashem, we should be zoiche to be able to emulate the ways of Yaakov Avinu of Yisrael, and in that way, the gashmis v'ruchnias will be able to be mekadeshim shemayim and be able to zoiche to bring the Mashiach to Kenu b'mehrah v'yameinu. Amen.
Very good. Very nice. Thank you. Really, very, very, very nice. Thank you.
I'm just telling this by saying,